Blog Talk Radio.
Special guest in the house today. In fact, you just heard his signature song, celebrating 25 years. I have with us today Mr. Tony Terry with his good-looking self. Tony, are you there? And for some reason, I'm having technical difficulties. Tony, are you there?
How are you? Can you hear me?
I hear you. Sounds like you're on a
No, I'm not.
How you doing,
here
baby?
We go. I am awesome. I am amazing.
Congratulations, 25 years with this particular song. And, I mean, those of us, we're still grooving on it, trust me. Soon as the boyfriend comes by, we put that song on, you know, and hope for better things to happen.
That's
well,
what that was what it's intended for.
Thank you. It's 92 degrees here in Las Vegas and partly cloudy. And like I said, we're talking today to none other than Tony Terry. He is a really prolific songwriter, singer, and has garnered many awards. I understand that you also received a NAACP Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes, I did. What an honor.
That is. When did you get it? When did you
It was last year. It was last year. And then earlier this year, I was asked to, you know, I wrote a song. It was really kind of, I don't want to say a cast off, because it was, you know, it was really dealing with what's going on today in our country with regard to,
yes,
you know, the police and all that's going on. And I wrote the song, or sang a song. Matters. And, you know, I was asked to open the national convention of the NAACP this year with the song. You know, it's starting to grow and have this life of its own. And I'm kind of afraid that I pulled the trigger that I wasn't ready to pull.
Yes, yes. I understand that.
So funny.
The fact of the matter is, you wrote that song a little about something else in regards to, I guess, the health and fibromyalgia. I must tell my audience that your wife, Ronnie, suffers from fibromyalgia, and my
Absolutely.
Friend Stan Moore from the Daz Band, his wife, he was just diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So basically, I am dedicating this show to both of them. Both
awesome.
Ronnie Terry and Francis Moore. So I know it's a very, very painful disease, and I understand you're also on the foundation to find a cure. So tell me about that, Tony.
Well, my wife developed fibromyalgia within days after giving birth to our son. And which says to me that it was probably, you know, already there and present, and, you know, it was triggered by, and it usually is triggered by something traumatic, and in this case, childbirth, an accident, you know, could happen, or in some cases, it just shows up for no reason at all. And you know, for years, interestingly, I had experience with fibromyalgia. prior to my wife having it, because before I met my wife, I dated a young lady who happens to be a very good friend of mine, her, she and her mother, for many years, and her mother had fibromyalgia before there was even a name for it. So I knew what she had it for about 20 years, and you know, I was there when she was, you know, diagnosed as or being absolutely fine, and then being sent to a psychiatrist because, you know, they thought it was all in her head. And you know, for many years she was, and the impact that it had, the effect that it had on the family was devastating because nobody knew what was going on. And ultimately, they came up with the name for the condition. It was initially called a condition, and it was only in the last 10 years upgraded to a disease, because so many people were affected by fibromyalgia, and a lot of people, even still today, you know, are living with chronic pain, and they don't know that they have fibromyalgia. They don't know that they have it.
And
so
the doctors
aren't
quick to diagnose it?
Well, now they are. You know, 10 years ago, even 9 years ago, when my wife was diagnosed, it took about a year for her to be diagnosed. But now they have specific tests that, you know, can determine pretty much right away what it is you're dealing with if you're living with chronic pain.
Well,
we went through it pretty severely. It was pretty severe for us. My wife had certainly the worst case I've ever seen. And, you know, we dealt with it with narcotics. And, of course, that's ugly, or can get ugly, because then you become addicted to the narcotics, which becomes a whole other beast in and of itself. But my wife decided that she didn't want to deal with it like that, and she went cold turkey and got up all the narcotics. And then we started our mission of just trying to make people aware of it. You know, just saying, hey, and then what the impact on the family, you know, it can have if you're not careful, or if you're not, you know, honest with yourself and your spouse or whoever it is that you're taking care of that's living with fibromyalgia.
Well, listeners, we have a good man here. Tony Terry, you are a very, very good man. That's wonderful. And it's good for anybody to have someone to lean on when they have ailments like that. And I do understand that it is very, very painful. So out of that, we come up with the song All Lives Matter. Is that where that song came from?
No. All Lives Matter All Lives Matter came out of, I did do a song for the fibromyalgia campaign, but All Lives Matter came out of what's going on politically with, you know, our in our communities, with the police and our men, our brothers, and, you know, people getting shot, and, you know, and folk not being held accountable for it. And, you know, I didn't want to, a friend of mine wrote the song All Lives Matter, and when I recorded it, I was like, are you sure we should be saying All Lives Matter? Shouldn't we be saying, you know, dealing with what's happening if we're going to make this political statement, you know, and the tone is Black Lives Matter, and, you know, and so I was vacillating if we should call it All Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter. The content of the song talks about what's going on in our community and the fact that Black Lives Matter. But the name of the song is All Lives Matter. And I've been having some kind of, when I said earlier that I felt like I pulled the trigger because the song came out on my label really before I was 100% satisfied with what we were going to be doing with it. But I stand by it. It's out now. It addresses some of the issues that are going on in our communities today. And there it is. There it is. And that's what brought All Lives Matter about.
Let's let my friends on the corner, on Mama Etta's corner, hear the song. I'm going to play it for you right now, y'all.
All right.
No justice, no peace. There's blood being wasted in these streets. People under pressure, taking drastic measures, trying to make sense of all these casualties. Hands up, don't shoot. We just want some answers. We ain't trying to lose. Praying for the better, looking for some shelter. It's all a part of equality.
What a shame.
What a shame.
We're at a standstill. Things are the same.
We gotta get through the clouds and rain.
And if we want results, then we gotta be the change.
We all gotta step to the plate. Talk the talk and participate. Let's do it now before we step in the future. Everybody down. I've seen another shooter.
All lives matter.
Sandy Hook, Staten Island, people all shook. We can't forget about Trayvon Martin. How did all of these cases get a pardon? Something is wrong in society. We need something bigger than apologies. This is a call to action. Let's get results that meet our satisfaction.
What a shame.
What a shame.
We're at a standstill.
We gotta get through the clouds and rain.
And if we want results, then we gotta be the same.
We all gotta step to the plate. Talk the talk and participate. Let's do it now before we step in the future. Get down, I see another shooter. Open letter. Martin had a dream. We in this thing together.
Ooh.
By our friend Tony Terry. I like, you have a line in that song that I like, and I think that is a message that everyone needs to know. We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. And that's where we are, together in this, you know, with the police situations, with the violence, with the terrorism. You know, all lives matter, regardless of race, creed, color, or religion.
I believe that. I believe that.
Yes,
but
yes,
you know what,
yes.
though? You know, why I was having the issue with, you know, all lives matter versus Black Lives Matter is that, you know, that I know that either way it's controversial. And to be honest, I really don't want to be political. But I guess, you know, I've thrown my hat in the ring with this one, huh?
Well, you know, we have to at some time in our lives, if it's doing nothing more than just vote, we've got to make a stand. We have to help our community, whether it's, you know, the Black community, the Hispanic community, the white community. We're all in this together. So, yes, I understand that the proceeds from this song you intend to give to victims of violent crime. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, is there one particular organization that you prefer or that you...
There are a couple of specific organizations that we are giving the funds to. Honestly, I'm sitting in my car as we do this interview, and I don't have the specific charitable organizations that we're giving the funds to. But, you know, victims of police brutality, victims of brutal crime, you know, I just thought that it was important. I didn't want to make money off of this particular record. I just thought that it was important that, you know, it be a PSA, if you will, a public service announcement, and that any proceeds that we garner from it would go to serve the community.
Well, this is a We Are the World type of song. This is a song where all of, you know, the entertainment community can join hands and sing. This song, again, should be a very major platform out here today because we need to hear this. We need encouragement. We need hope. After last night's debate, which truly exhausted me, I know
man. I was in the studio last night. I'm working on a Christmas record, and I'm trying to meet a deadline. But and so I didn't see the debate live, but I watched it this morning, and I was like, oh, okay.
It was exhausting. I'm telling you, it was exhausting. And so, but you know, I want my peeps out there to go vote. I don't care if you vote for Trump. I don't like him, but I don't care if you vote for him. Vote however your heart directs you to vote. And we have people like Tony Terry who has our backs, who not only is thinking about his own career and his next Grammy, but he's thinking about the community. All lives matter. I love that. I love that song. And we're going throughout the year when things happen, I'm going to play it again and again if you don't mind. Because
no,
I
would really appreciate it. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Uh-huh. Yes. You also did some work with Yolanda Adams in the gospel field. I understand that you love gospel and have recorded gospel albums and records of your own.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I grew up in church, probably not unlike most R&B singers. I grew up in church, and I happen to be from the South, from North Carolina, between North Carolina and D.C. I'm a product of D.C. public schools. But I met Yolanda in D.C. At a performance where she was singing on the Washington Monument grounds. And my jaw dropped. I was watching her with my mouth wide open the entire time. I thought she was that amazing and that anointed. And then within a couple of weeks, we were in the studio together. And
wow.
I worked on what would be the first single from her second album. And it was a song called Gotta Have Love. And it went on to become nominated for a Grammy. And you know, Yolanda's career, you know, speaks for itself. She went on to do some incredible things. But, yeah, I was fortunate and blessed that I was able to be a part of the beginning of her career.
Wow, that's wonderful. And you also, I see, you've performed soundtracks to Gladiator. That was Cuba Gooding Jr. movie?
Absolutely. I've done a few soundtracks, a couple of soundtracks. I'm on some relatively recent soundtracks where, I'm going to go ahead and say it, where people have stolen my music, used my voice, my music, and everything, and taken my name off of it and put someone else's name on it. So there are a couple of recent films out that is the case. But, you know, I'm fortunate to have a few songs and a few great movies that were done properly as well, legally.
Wow. Are you able to do anything about those things?
I got someone looking. I have my attorney looking into it. It's really about, one of the things is, you know, if there was a soundtrack, you know, as long as they didn't make the music commercially available, but there was definitely some right infringements. I mean, they literally stole my music and put someone else's name on it. And I can't even say the film because we've started, you know, investigating it, but I think it's pretty sad, but it definitely does happen.
Yes, it does. It does in this business, and that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. So I hear you say that you're in the studio working on a Christmas album. Didn't you start doing the Black Nativity?
I haven't started
you?
Yet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, in my career. My career started doing Black Nativity, absolutely, yeah. My career started.
Oh,
well, people don't know that I'm, you know, my career started out as an actor and then evolved into the music thing. So the play, the Black Nativity, which is written by Langston Hughes, everybody should know who he is.
Yes.
Was the show that I did that launched my career professionally. At a place called the Crossroads Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And that was in 1985.
Uh-huh.
And so now, 2016, you know, the show is being done again at that same theater, and I've been asked to come back and star in it. So I'll be they've been rehearsing for at least 4 weeks now, but I'll join them in rehearsals on December 1st. And the show opens December 11th back at the Crossroads Theater, and it's going to be the last show that they do at this theater before they tear the theater down. So it's kind of a big deal because in the beginning, when I started my career, I wasn't really making a lot of money. So I actually lived in this theater. I lived in my dressing room. I slept under my dressing room table. You know, I was paying my dues, if you will. We were grinding. But I wouldn't have done it anyway, any other way.
Yes. Well, I tell you, when I heard about it, I said, well, I should go to New York and see this. Then I thought about it. I'm originally from Hackensack, New Jersey. It's cold.
It's definitely going to be cold. You know, I lived in Vegas for like almost six years. And I got married and then we moved to Georgia because my wife got sick and her family's here.
Yeah.
But I came to Georgia kicking and screaming. I did not want to leave Las Vegas. But now that I've been here 8 years, you know, I kind of like it.
I lived there too. I lived in Marietta for 10 years. And then I moved here to Vegas and I've been here going on 17. So, but life just directs us. We don't direct our life. We are just in it, and we go with the flow. You know, we have to. And so I'm very, very proud to be able to talk with you, a person like you, and especially you, who gives back to the community, who does many, many things, okay? I see here that you were awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award from the NAACP group, Playwrights Ball and Symposium Peach Theater Awards. Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah, that was earlier this year. There was a elaborate cruise that they set up for all of us to go to, and unfortunately I couldn't attend because I was coming off of the Tom Joyner Fantastic Voyage cruise. And if you know anything about that,
I wish I could go on that one.
If you know anything about that, you need a couple of weeks of rest afterwards.
Yes. I've never been able to go, but I know you must have had a ball on that. Really.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Pretty awesome, and to be on the boat, to be on a ship, you know, with you know other celebrities, you know, some that you know that you have a lot of respect for, and you know, and you have an opportunity to rub elbows, you know, strike up a conversation, and chop it up, and get to know. That's an amazing experience. Even
you
for
were
me,
with Diana
you know,
Ross,
I,
weren't
even,
you?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Mm. That was great. I mean, come on, Diana Ross, come on, man.
That's wonderful. So, what do you see happening for you next?
Well, you know, I wish I had a crystal ball and I could look into it and say what is going on next. But I am immediately working on this Christmas record. We're actually, as I said earlier, trying to beat a deadline. So I have to have it finished and turned in by Thursday in order for it to come out this year. So if I don't meet that deadline, it won't come out till next year. So I am passionately working to get this record done. I was in the studio until about 4 o'clock this morning, and it's a duet. My duet partner is in D.C., so we're recording the record using technology, so we're in the studio at the same time. However, I'm in Atlanta, and she's in D.C. Isn't that pretty awesome?
Yeah, it is awesome. I know that technology, one can do that. It
yes.
brings me to mind with Michael McDonald and Patti LaBelle. Their duet, they never met, and they did a duet, and which became a very large hit. I forgot the name of it, but
it became
a large hit.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of it.
Right. You don't want me to try to sing it. Trust me. My name is Etta, but that's as far as it goes. I sing in the key of Z.
That's what's up. Okay. Hey, listen, everybody can't do everything.
You. Say what, baby?
I said everybody can't do everything. No, you know, everybody can't do everything. You know, not everyone has a great radio voice like you have either.
Oh, well, I don't know about a radio voice. This is just how I talk. You know what I mean? And I never had plans of doing this. I beg your pardon?
I said your voice is perfect for radio.
Well, thank you, my darling. Thank you. I thought I just had a bedroom voice. You know what I mean? And my pillow loves it. That's me. Anyway, it is what it is. Well, we've got about 3 more minutes to go. This has been a quick fast. There's so many more things that I want to cover with you. You know, the different songs that you wrote and doing soundtracks and like Tap with Gregory Hines and all of that. You've done a lot. And so we don't really have the time to talk about everything that you've done, but I truly, truly appreciate you celebrating your 25th anniversary of your classic record when I
appreciate you having me on. I really appreciate you having me on. You know, there is a lot going on, and if your listeners are interested in, you know, staying in touch, they can hit me up on Facebook at Tony Terry, of course, and my website is TonyTerryMusic.com. I'm on Instagram at Mr. Tony Terry. I'm easy to find.
Okay. Well, this is an on-demand show, so I will send it to your Facebook page, and you can send it out to anyone that you want to. By the way,
before I
end, there were 3 people that told me I had to say hello to you. Sherry Pruitt, she's a blues singer. She is in the play that I wrote and produced. She told me to tell you that you and your family are in her prayers. Another good friend of mine, Alyssa, says she's very married, just like you, but she's not blind. Okay? I don't need to say what.
Okay.
And one of my best friends there in Atlanta, Linda Gaston, she says to tell
you
hello. And that,
thank you so much.
She loves that song.
Well,
so thank you for coming
on,
my baby.
Tell Linda that I'm going to be performing here in Atlanta at the Riverside Epicenter this Friday night with Howard Hewitt.
Okay. I'll let her know Friday night. I certainly will. And
I'm sure she'll be
there.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you for
coming on to the show. I am going to close it now with When I'm With You. Mama Etta's Corner, folks, thank you for being my friends. I love you all. You have a very good Columbus Day, and think about me when I'm with you.
Peace
to you too, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Just like I hear a song.
perhaps you can turn the TV it back up now. Nastiest presidential debate ever. I got. Okay. Now to hear the dang show. Let's see, is it ready yet? Why isn't this loading?
So you have one piece of bacon left.
I know. So I'll have that one piece and, I do need you to go to the store. But you can do that on your way back.
Okay.
Later. Because I only got $2. I need some hamburger buns. Give me two. Let me take my blood and all.
Always fair, always a great discussion.
didn't post. Some reason it didn't load, or it's still loading. Today's a holiday, and it did say if we had a problem, had to wait. For Jesus.
Yeah, it's a holiday, and my son had to go to
school. Why?
Well, I guess it's not as important as it is for you.
Oh, school's open? Oh, so old boy must be working. Take that sign out today. He must be at work today. I thought schools were closed today. The banks are closed.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Hello.
Post office. Bring me another alcohol patch.
Okay.
Bring me a few of them. I can just put in them. Well, this is just not loading. It's there. What does this mean? Download episode. Wow. Why didn't it download? Till tomorrow, if not delayed, because it's not loading. It says it is, but I'm not getting it. Oh. It's a server problem. Fuck!
But the place is flooded.
I-95, that's the highway. $162. How many? Okay.